Thanks for downloading this message from Pastor Mike's podcast. May God bless you as you listen.
In this Easter season, we continue to see how the message of Jesus' resurrection and his appearances to the disciples start to take their effect, and how people see him, how the message goes out, and how God's power starts to act upon the world. We're reading in the Gospel lesson for today is from John's Gospel, chapter 21, and beginning at the first verse. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we will go with you. Nothing's changed over the years, has it? When guys want to go fishing, there's always someone who wants to go along. They went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. This is the gospel of the Lord. The second reading today, one of the readings for this week in the church year, is from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 20. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He asked, who are you, Lord? The reply came, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice, but they saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate or drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he may regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the high priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." Let's pray. Lord God, in this Easter season, we pray that you would open our eyes just as you opened the eyes of Saul, that you would transform us just as you changed this man from Saul to Paul, that you would empower us, and that you would send us your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is a great story, isn't it? This fire-breathing persecutor named Saul gets turned around. It's fantastic. But it's not just the end result that's good, it's also the way that it happens. It's a really cool story, isn't it? As Saul then on his way down to Damascus, trying to arrest people for following Jesus. There's this meeting on the road where he hears this voice, it's the Lord speaking to him. He gets struck blind. And then there's this guy called Ananias who has a vision. He gets asked to go and to talk to Saul about Jesus. And he's afraid, isn't he? He can understand that. He's heard about what Saul is up to. He's heard about his reputation. Jesus says, "Go and talk to this guy." He's a bit apprehensive. But he goes anyway, and then he prays for him. Scales fall from the eyes of Saul, and he gets turned around, receives the Holy Spirit, begins preaching and teaching about Jesus. How cool is all of that? It's a really great story. Have you ever sensed that you have a calling from God? That God is calling you into his service? If not, then you're probably not listening. Because God calls all of us into his service. Even the most unlikely people, and that's one of the things that you see in this story, isn't it? That he calls even the most unlikely people into his service, and then he uses them to do great things. Who would have thought that Saul would be a candidate to serve God with what he was doing? He was a violent opponent to the gospel. And he'd been making sure that the Christians were persecuted. He wasn't even satisfied that he'd done his job in Jerusalem. Once he thought that he was creating enough havoc in Jerusalem, he thought, "I need to go to Damascus. I need to go far away from Jerusalem to make sure that this message about Jesus just doesn't go any further." Why would God choose him? Now, granted, I can imagine God stopping him on his way. I can imagine God striking him blind. But it's easy to think of that in a kind of punitive way, that God's going to just stop him. But God chooses not just to stop him, but to use him, to turn him around. God is interested in a new life for Saul. He's interested in this thing called redemption, which is a change around, a turnaround, a buying back from a way that is bad and turning things into something good. And we see that in the way, as happens often in the Bible, that Saul's name gets changed. He becomes Paul. So often in the Bible, when people encounter God, there's such a change in them that God changes their name from one thing to another. He becomes Paul. And from that moment, he has a great impact. I mean, we look back now and we hardly ever think of who Saul was, but we think of Paul and we think of the things that he was involved in terms of God's kingdom. He was this great missionary, went on these missionary journeys, started all of these little churches that sprung up in Asia Minor, and then went all the way to Rome, to the Roman Empire, and had an impact in Rome itself. Almost half of the New Testament is written by Paul. And so he's had this great impact on the Christian world because God used him to bring this understanding of what grace was and help us understand through Paul's writing, inspired by God, what the church should look like. And teaches many great things about grace and salvation and about how God is working in our lives. He had a fantastic work to do. And all because God had a plan. It's interesting in this account that God knew what he was doing. In verse 15 it says, he's talking to Ananias now. The Lord says to Ananias as he's sending him off, "Go, for this man, for Saul, is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name to the Gentiles and to kings and before the people of Israel." God knew in advance what the plan was and how he was going to use Paul, then Saul, Saul, then Paul, in his service. You know that God has a plan to redeem the world? He wants as many people as possible to come into a living relationship with him, to receive his love and forgiveness, to be touched by the gospel, to receive eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. And God's got a plan. And I can say with certainty that you have a part to play in that plan. God has something for you to do, and he's calling. You might question that seriously. Me, I'm nothing like Paul. Certainly don't have the gifts that Paul had. How could God seriously want to use me? Friends, God still chooses unlikely people. I want to tell you a story about a guy called Albert McMakin. You've perhaps never heard of Albert McMakin, but he is a man who had a profound and far-reaching effect on the kingdom of God, on God's work in this world. And he did so because he had a truck. His story happens in America, in the back blocks of America. And Albert McMakin had heard about an itinerant preacher, a revivalist that was coming to town. He was a committed Christian. He knew Jesus. And he'd heard about this revivalist coming who was going to be preaching and teaching and sharing the name of Jesus. And he was concerned for his friends, for the circle that he moved in. And so he came up with a plan. He proposed to gather up as many people as he could in a truck that he owned and drive from the little town where he lived across to where this revival was being held. He said, "I'll get as many people in this truck as I possibly can." And he had a whole bunch of them, but there was one young man that he knew who was uncertain about attending. He was kind of wavering. "Oh, maybe I'll go. Oh, no, I don't think I really want to. I'm not really that interested." And then Albert McMakin proposed a deal. He said to this young man, "If you come, I will let you drive the truck." And this guy really wanted to drive trucks. And that got him in, right? So he said, "Oh, cool, I can drive the truck. I'll even go to a revivalist meeting if I can drive the truck." So they went to the meeting, all of these young guys, these people in the back of the truck, with this young man driving the truck. Now the driver went to the meeting, heard the preacher, and was inspired by the Holy Spirit, was touched by the message of the gospel, came to recognize that he was a sinner that needed God in his life. And he found Jesus, or Jesus found him in that moment. He received the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus and got saved. That's one way they say it, isn't it? He got saved. Albert McMakin. There you go. All you need is a truck. All you need is a truck. And with that truck, you can have an enormous influence on the kingdom of God. And maybe you're thinking to yourself at the moment, enormous influence? How did Albert McMakin have an enormous influence? Yes, he took some friends to revival, and yes, this young man was touched, but how is that an enormous influence on the kingdom of God? Well, that young man who drove the truck, his name is Billy Graham. That's how Billy Graham came to faith, because he drove a truck belonging to Albert McMakin to a revivalist meeting in a town nearby where he lived. He came to faith, he was touched by the Holy Spirit, and he became one of the world's best known evangelistic preachers, and has spent his life, he's old now and he doesn't lead revivals in the same way, but for all of his working life, he was preaching to millions of people around the world. And hundreds of thousands of people came to an understanding of the gospel through the preaching of Billy Graham. But Billy Graham may never have come to faith without that truck, without someone called Albert McMakin, who, called by God, came up with a plan and said, well, I can use my truck to take some friends along to hear about Jesus, to meet Jesus. Do you hear God's call to you? Do you have a truck? Or maybe do you have a fishing boat? Or can you cook? Or can you sew? Or can you bake cakes? Are you friendly? Can you teach at Bible song? Can you mentor a young person? Can you sing in the band? Can you be part of God's work through his people? I don't know exactly what all of your talents are, but I know that God is calling you and inviting you to be part of the work that he's doing in the world. And who knows what that young child in Bible song who's learning about Jesus, who knows who that boy or girl is going to grow up to be and how God will use them in his service. There might be a Billy Graham in your Sunday school class. That young person that you're mentoring through H2H, who knows who they'll grow up to be and who they will influence and who their lives will touch and how the gospel will go out through them. When we share the love of Jesus, it's like throwing a rock into a pond and the ripples just go out and touch people's lives. So whether we're eloquent, whether we're talented in big ways that everyone can see, or whether we're talented in ways that maybe nobody recognizes, God recognizes. And God knows, and God can use you. And he is calling you. Let's pray. Lord God, may your voice come to us as loud as it came to Paul on the road to Damascus. Lord, I pray that you give us ears in our hearts that will hear the way in which you speak to us in the day-to-day things, in the day-to-day opportunities that are always around us to serve you and to be part of what you're doing in the world. Lord, it's awesome to think of the great plan that you have. And as we read about Paul, and we see the way you took this man who was so opposed to you and used him to do such great things that were in your service, we know that you are greater than the circumstances around us and that your plan is greater than we could even possibly imagine. Lord, I know from your word that you use each of us, that we are part of the plan that you're making. So, Lord, just make us attentive to how you're calling us. Use the skills, use our truck, use our our hands, our feet, our imagination, our skills, our love, and touch the world through us. We offer this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message by Pastor Mike Ford of the Rockingham Mandurah Lutheran Parish. For information about our church and our service times, you can call the office on 9593 9545. God bless you.